Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I want to welcome Accuracy and Media President Adam Gillette. Right now, he's got a van, a mobile billboard circling the campus of the University of Columbia, asking the president to resign. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Okay, so why should she resign?
Well, I've been to many campuses across this country. There are terrible radical anti-Semites everywhere. Columbia is truly the nation's leader in wretched anti-Semitism. And this is a university president who's done nothing worthwhile to stop it. She's either incapable or uninterested in stemming the tide of horrible anti-Semitic harassment on her campus.
Yeah, and you know, I'm blown away here by something. I mean, one of the iconic moments in American history was desegregation, when beautiful young black children just wanted to go to the same schools as white kids. What do we do as a country? Well, that was a civil rights issue. We sent in the National Guard, right? Everything went peacefully. We resegregated the schools, or segregated, you know, unsegregated them, and. It was recognized, and has been recognized since the 50s and 60s, that students have civil rights to attend school without harassment. And yet, Republicans have been calling for Joe Biden to use the National Guard to protect Jewish students who now must learn off campus, and he won't. We can't get the liberal governor to do it. So apparently, if you're Jewish, we are now going backward from Brown v. Board of Education. We are now going backward from the 1960s back to segregation, where if you're Jewish, you can't be a part of this. And the Democrats are happy to let you go to school off campus for fear you will be beaten or hurt if you are a Jew. I can't believe I'm watching this.
Well, I got news for you. They're not too keen on the Christians either. And it's wild, because I'm a big supporter of free speech, even when it's terrible, wretched, racist hate speech, because free speech allows us to know who the terrible racists are amongst us. And I was at the hearings when Shafiq spoke before Congress last Wednesday, and she explained about how, oh, well, we try to have calm, peaceful protests that are away from the classes so students can still learn. But it was hard to hear what she was saying, because her students were outside the chamber screaming and screaming like spoiled, entitled brats, demanding to be let in even though the room was at capacity. She's got the most entitled, tamper tantrum throwing Ivy League anti-Semites in America. And it's so funny that she claims she believes in free speech, because her campus has been taken over by outside agitators. And the people who are actually paying a heck of a lot of money for tuition, they were told to flee campus for their own safety. I guess they can go have all the free speech they want at mom and dad's house or something, but certainly not on the campus where they're paying tuition.
Where is this? I mean, we're watching these spread from campus to campus. Where ultimately is this going, Adam? Where do you see this ending up?
Corporate America. In 10 years, higher education is going to basically transform corporate America to be a reflection of its image. These are truly dangerous radicals, and the problem comes directly from diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives in K-12 education. Everybody wants to believe, my school's the good one. They're not doing that crazy stuff. I met with the principal and administrator. They seem all right. Well, our organization does hidden camera investigative journalism. I've personally been at over 250 school districts across the country with hidden cameras, red districts, red states. And I got bad news for you. I meet with these administrators and they brag to me about how they lie to you. This DEI garbage is in gosh darn near every red district around the country.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and I know we have some of it here we've dealt with here, and even in the Deep South, you'd be shocked at what we have found. I want to play this for you because you were talking about you support free speech, and I'm a huge supporter of free speech too. But there is a point, everybody agrees and always has, that free speech crosses the line into threats. Have you heard this? This is the top leader of Columbia University's encampment. And he's talking about murdering Zionists. This is who the left is protecting here.
And so be glad, be grateful that I'm not just going out and murdering Zionists. I've never murdered anyone in my life, and I hope to keep it that way. I genuinely hope to keep it that way.
That's who these people are. This is who Act Blue is bailing out when they block roads.
That was Kamani James. I happen to own KamaniJames.com. I haven't set up his page yet, and I apologize if I misgendered him. But one of the things we do is we buy the domain names of these wretched anti-Semites like Amari Butler. And we set up AmariButler.com and explain how they're one of the most radical anti-Semites on their campus. Then, as you mentioned, we send a mobile billboard with their name and their picture, and it says Columbia's leading anti-Semite or Harvard's leading anti-Semite. The billboard plays the shame soundbite from Game of Thrones on a loop. We even work with search engine optimization experts, so if people Google you, our webpage is one of the first results. And for some of the truly wicked, horrible, wretched anti-Semites, we send mobile billboards to mom and dad's house and park it in front of their house for 6 hours so that they have to explain to their neighbors why their kid's not a big fan of the Jews.
That's awesome. See, you know, what you're doing is exactly how the founders intended speech to be used. They speak, we speak, but you're not entitled to not be embarrassed or mortified.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The solution to bad speech isn't banning it. It's not shadow banning it on social media. The solution is more good speech. And these kids get so angry when we do what we do. I've been assaulted a couple times. We've had our mobile billboards smashed with bricks. I get death threats every day. I've been swatted 10 times. We would never, you know, threaten these people. We merely amplify the things they've said. And if they apologize for what they've done, if they quit their anti-Semitic organization, which many of them have done, we take down their webpage. We take them off of our mobile billboard. We believe in forgiveness, even if their apologies are insincere. And if they aren't apologetic for their actions, well, then they should send us a thank you card. Because as I said, we're merely amplifying their own message.
It's really horrifying what is happening. And I'm so glad you're doing this, Adam. I mean, these are the tactics that we need to begin to use that our side just doesn't use enough. Tell me this, though. When conservatives are harassed by some of these very same forces for merely wanting to speak on campus like everyone else, it doesn't get the national attention. We cover it, but it doesn't get the national attention. Can you kind of address that? Because this week, the flavor of the month to persecute is Jewish people. Last month, it was us. It'll be us again.
Well, that's a great point. And the solution is, and don't just complain about it. Don't just write a story in your blog about it. Don't just post about it on Facebook. Do something about it. When that Trump-appointed federal judge was speaking at Stanford and got shouted down by the DEI radicals and was joined in by the dean of DEI at Stanford, Tyrion Steinbeck, the dean of DEI, we did the exact same thing for them. We found the leaders of that organization. And by the way, these radicals were shouting down the judge and shouted things like, "I hope your daughters get raped."
Wow.
So we sent mobile billboards to their campus with their names and their pictures and their domain names. And we worked with search engine optimization experts. For some of them, like Mohit Mukim, and I own MohitMukim.com, we also sent a billboard during spring break to mom and dad's house so that mom and dad, again, get to explain to the neighbors what Mohit has been up to since he went off to Stanford. We bought TyrionSteinbeck.com and set up an action alert where you could send a message to the board of trustees telling them to call for her resignation. Well, Tyrion Steinbeck, like many of our targets, lost her job.
Good for you, Adam. I'm so glad you're doing this. You're using speech in the way it was intended to be used. Where can folks find you, find your work, donate if they want to?
They could usually find me on a college campus hiding behind two security guards. That's somewhat of a joke, but I do have security now when I travel to campuses. Our website is aim.org, A-I-M.org. We're active on all the social media platforms, and we're going to continue putting frowns on the faces of bad people.
Good for you. I'm glad somebody is standing up to these people. They should be embarrassed. Adam, thank you so much for joining us today on 98.9 WORD.
Thank you for having me.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
As Trump was being sworn in back in 2017, we were already beginning to get an idea of how the FBI spied on him. And I said this, I said, from this moment forward, he is going to live in a prison. It looks like a mansion, looks like a White House, but it's a prison. Every, same for him, same for Melania, same for the whole family. Every breath they take will be monitored by the thugs in our intelligence agencies. And he will live, I mean, can you imagine that lack of privacy? Where you just want to be alone, you just want to, you know, unwind. He doesn't ever get to be alone. They won't ever leave him alone. And we're finding more evidence of that. So Judge Cannon in the Florida case has basically unredacted and made public documents in Miami court. Now, in the D.C. court, which is profoundly corrupt and controlled by Democrats, all this stuff was sealed so the public couldn't see it. What did they find? The FBI has been running around surveilling what they called Trump Force One, which is Trump's personal plane. Why they have a right to do that, I don't know. Do you know what they call the case? Like the name of it? This is sick. Plasmic Echo. What does that mean? Well, if you're a doctor, you know a plasmic score measures the aggregation of platelets in the heart that can lead to thrombosis. In other words, whether you will have the big one that lays you out in silk at the local funeral parlor. Yes, their name for their case, i.e. their surveillance of Trump, is Plasmic Echo. In other words, they're joking about his death. You get the implication. Oh, we have him so monitored, we know if he's going to have the big one. A joke about his death. Really? That's who these people are. The FBI surveilled Trump's plane. One would think the ex-president's personal plane is his castle, but not with the FBI around. They conducted what they called in the documents loose surveillance. What was that? What were they looking for? It was designated, among other things, to determine if boxes were loaded onto the plane. Like classified documents boxes, other boxes. Folks, remember what has happened over the last year or so. Remember, and this has driven me crazy. This is the one eternal mystery, the one thing I would ask Trump if I had one question. He had all the documents proving the FBI made up Russia collusion in partnership with Hillary and the Russians, okay, and foreign intelligence agencies. He had it. He had him dead to rights. And remember, he kept promising to declassify. And then he even put corrupt Bill Barr in charge of declassification. Bill Barr was supposed to do it in the summer. I'm sorry, by the summer of 2020. But Bill Barr never did. And I thought, well, he'll do it by the, you know, by the election. Then he never did. And then I thought, well, he'll do it after the election. somebody, we got to stop these, but he never did. And in the days leading up to Trump leaving office, him and Mark Meadows were frantically trying to declassify. And I said, just throw it out. Throw the boxes out on the White House steps, damn it. Please give us something. I will never understand why Trump didn't declassify. Because remember, he bragged about he was going to do it for the longest time. He never did. Well, some copies of those documents that detail all the lies the FBI told all of the, and really told to their sheeple, told to the Democrat sheeple about how they made up Russia collusion, how it was never real, how they grifted and grafted it, and also how they broke the law to make it happen. Because remember, they lied to the FISA court multiple times about it. All contained in that document. It was never, for some crazy reason, declassified. Well, they lost a copy of it. And they've been in a panic over it for the last couple of years. They don't know where it is. They thought maybe Mark Meadows had it. They thought maybe it would, maybe Trump had it. I think that's why they really raided Mar-a-Lago. I'm convinced of it. So when you hear this, they are surveilling his plane with surveillance designed to determine if boxes were loaded onto the plane. They're looking for that last copy they don't possess that details their crimes. Because think about this for a minute, psychologically, okay? They have the left terrified that they lived through, this is hilarious, an attempted coup by Vladimir Putin, an attempted coup through Donald Trump to take over this country. They barely escaped. Their democracy they think they live in, they don't even know where they live. Their democracy they think they live in barely escaped. And right now they're on the edge of panic again, okay? They are about to go through another coup, except there was no coup. It was all fake. Can you imagine how it would shake the world of the sheeple if these documents ever saw the light of day? I mean, just psychologically, I mean, we've read the stories before to you that with liberals seeking psychological help because they were so traumatized about having lived through, they think, an attempted takeover by the Hitlerian fascist Vladimir Putin. Can you imagine how your worldview would be shattered if you were to find none of it ever happened? They all lied to you. They all made it up. It's in a document somewhere. And they still can't find it. CNN's been in a panic about it. I think a lot of this has to do with that. But again, this is a way that Trump is an architect of his own demise. I don't know why he never declassified. I will never for the life of me understand it. It helped put Joe Biden in office. Because remember, when voters went to the polls, 50% of them still believed, just at half, that Trump and Putin had somehow colluded or worked together. And it was a lie. I don't know why Trump saddled himself with that. Might have cost him the election. But the FBI is still in a war with Trump and they are spying on him. And that's crazy. And they have, again, named the investigation Plasmic Echo. That is them laughing at the idea of Trump having a heart attack. But these people, these agencies need to be cleaned out. The doors need to be shut forever. They are too dangerous. I am more afraid of them now than any foreign enemy we have. It's, yeah. Texter writes, excellent interview with Adam. Thank you very much. Another texter writes, why we're getting a better level of thinking and governance in the Sunshine State. Yeah. All right. Coming up, the very same people surveilling Trump's plane want to have total and absolute control of speech in the world. And they've got a plan. And you and your accounts are part of it. We'll tell you what it is coming up next. Folks, this business news. Wow. Headline. And when this hits Yahoo Finance, and it has become okay to say, okay, it's become okay to admit this in the last 24 hours. They don't have to lie about it anymore, in other words. Look at this headline, Yahoo Finance. The U.S. economy may be barreling towards stagflation, an outcome worse than recession. They're admitting it. Why are they admitting it? J.P. Morgan Chase CEO and Democrat fundraiser Jamie Dimon had to admit it over the last couple of days. Why did he do that? He didn't want to do it. He's been protecting Biden, but at some point you have to admit to your investors what they can plainly see. This is not where we've been before. except the 1970s. And that's exactly what Jamie Dimon just said. Hey, look, you know what? The soft landing I keep telling you all about the last couple of years, yeah, I don't know if it's coming anymore. Headline, Yahoo Finance, another article. They put it a different way. Jamie Dimon is worried the U.S. economy is headed back to the 1970s. Yeah, it's stagflation. Okay, this comes on the hill. Look, the International Monetary Fund knew this was coming, and they told us the truth about what's going on, a truth you can't read here. What is that? If the U.S. does not stop borrowing and spending, it will wreck not only its own economy and its own currency, it will wreck the world economy. Why? Because all that money that we print out, it sloshes right over our borders. And they warn nobody is going to be able to borrow. Why? Because the interest rates are going to be so high. It doesn't stop at our borders. We are wrecking our economy in the world economy, Congress's specifically. You know what's so weird about this coverage? Notice this over the weekend, okay? As they're admitting, we're going into stagflation. This is really bad. They act like the cause is a mystery. Oh, we thought if we raise the interest rates, everything would be fine. But wow, the economy was just so on fire that we just couldn't slow it down. Everybody loves Bidenomics. Now the economy's not on fire, but we still can't slow the inflation. That's stagflation. Let me explain to you kind of in a basic way what just happened here and why it is so different from what we have seen at least up since the 1970s. And Kubisi Report had a really, really good translation of this, okay? The last quarter growth rate of the economy was 3.4% in Q4, okay? It just came in at 1.6, less than half, okay? So you see this huge slowdown in growth. At the same time, the U.S. core price index, U.S. core PCE price index, soared from 2% inflation to a staggering 3.7%, okay? Normal is below 2. That's what Trump left us with. Trump left us with, in January of 2021, about 1.5, 1.6, historically low. This is 3.7. Yeah, that's a problem. It's double. So what is it? They are losing control of inflation again as the economy slows down. It's stagflation is what it is. Let me explain to you the actual reality because no one's going to shoot straight with you. I will. You know how we were at, they told us, 9% inflation? Almost 10% inflation. That never went away. They barely control it and tamp it down with high interest rates right now. And even that is beginning to fail. The high interest rates are beginning to fail. Even with the high interest rate, inflation's ticking back up again. And that's whacking out the economy. That's what's going on. It's called stagflation. But everybody acts like we don't know what's causing this. Let me tell you what's causing this. It's very simple. I've been predicting this on my show. I should be on one of these economic channels because I've gotten it right every single time. And what did I say? When Kev stabbed the Republicans in the back, Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, till he got chunked out, and he should have been, we passed a budget that cut the spending. Passed the House. We had won in the polls. Public supported us. They wanted that budget. They wanted to cut the spending. No, no, no. Kevin McCarthy has to sneak over to the White House over the holiday weekend, cuts a deal with the Democrats, and rams it down our throat with using Democrat votes to overcome the will of the majority of Republicans. And what does he do? He locks in the top line spending levels of COVID. Remember what that was? We were printing checks to pay people to stay home. It was ridiculous. It was just plumb stupid is what it was. We locked it in. What do we need that money for? Oh, greed? Don't know. But he locked it in. And Republicans correctly threw him the heck out. Humiliated him. Good. That should be the bar. Now, when they put Mike Johnson in, Mike Johnson was saying, hey, we're going to cut it. I'm going to let you do individual appropriations bills. I'm not going to cut deals with the Democrats. We'll go in and cut. Just give me a few weeks because it was in the fall. January rolls around. Nope. No appropriations bills. Mike does the same thing. Screws us with the Democrats. Using Democrat votes to overcome the will of the Republican majority. Okay. So the good news here is we have a Republican majority willing to rein in spending. We just can't seem to find a speaker who will stop it. The reason this is happening, stagflation, is very, very simple. Because Congress won't stop spending, printing, and borrowing at the COVID levels. They are spending, printing, and borrowing at the same level as if we were still cutting those checks to people to stay home. It is senseless. It is insane. And the IMS IMF, International Monetary Fund, is begging us not to do it. But we will not listen. We have lost our frigging ever-loving minds. Now, why is it that we are doing that? Why do we keep spending like we are? Because the reality is, if we were to, because when you spend like this, it displaces normal economic activity, okay? And it replaces it with fake money. And that works great for a little while. That works great for a little while. But it doesn't work for a long time. And what happens is that when you want to go back and stop spending, what happens? Something along the lines of a Great Depression. Here is Dave Bratt. He's the he is the head of the financial school at Liberty, okay? And he's explaining what would happen if we actually did the cuts, if we stopped printing the money. And what we're learning here is once you start printing the money at the COVID level, you have to keep printing the money. Or, well, I'll let Dave explain what happens.
Bottom line here is really, if you take out the deficit spending, the funny money coming from the government, we're growing at negative 10% GDP. Just bottom line, if you take away $2 trillion, you know, roughly speaking, that's one-tenth of your economy. What would happen to your economy if you just chopped off one-tenth of it and it, you know, fell into the ocean? Something like this graph.
Something like this graph.
Bottom line here is really, if you take out the deficit spending, the funny money coming from the government, we're growing at negative 10% GDP.
That's the Great Depression. So when we decided to have a party, we're going to print, because Anthony Fauci's lying, says we all got to stay home, didn't turn out we had to, and then we're going to pay all the checks. Well, guess what? We displaced legitimate economic activity, right? And replaced it with funny money. We're killing the world with this. Well, if we stop doing that, you're going to get negative 10% GDP growth. Now, we will eventually go back to normal, but it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad. And no one's telling the American people the truth. Mike Johnson doesn't want to be blamed for it. Kev didn't want to either. And the Democrats were going to blame him, have a party, and ride the wave of lies all the way to the next election. Republicans don't want to be blamed. Democrats don't want to be blamed either, so they're in a suicide pact. That's what happens when you print money. You can't stop. It's like a drug. You take a drug that's very addictive, think meth, and now guess what? You got to take it again. You got to take it again. You got to take it again. Before you know it, you're laying in a drug house in your own waste. I don't care about anything but another hit. That's where Congress is. Plus, all their friends expect the money. They don't even know what to do with all the money. They just chunk it out. Here, $9 billion for the Hamas terror group. Sure, have it. $18,000 per family in Hamas, you know, controlled territory of Gaza. Yeah, just take it, $18,000, whatever. We don't even know what to do with it anymore. And that's where we are. And we are in a bad, 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 bad place. The only hope we have is to do the opposite of what Joe Biden is doing right now, locking up all that drilling in Alaska. We need to just Katie bar the door, throw it all out. Let's expedite the permits. Let's get the bits in, drill bits in the ground in months. Let's unleash it all. The best way to go after inflation is to unleash it all. Why? Because energy costs are driving a lot of this. We've had double-digit increases in the cost of energy. It's feeding inflation. Even if we do that, there's going to be a crash and it will hurt. It will hurt badly. But this isn't working. This, hey, we'll just keep printing and we just won't have a real estate industry. Hey, we're going to keep printing and yeah, middle class people won't own houses anymore. They'll have to rent. Hey, the idea of two cars per family of four, now it's going to have to be one and you'll be only be able to afford the loan on that. This is how we'll have to live if we keep printing. Do we want a lot of pain over the next 20 years or we want to rip the Band-Aid off? Somebody needs to tell the American people the truth. Dave Bratt did. Strip away the funny money. Tell us again, Dave.
Bottom line here is really, if you take out the deficit spending, the funny money coming from the government, we're growing at negative 10% GDP.
Yep. That's not good. In the midst of all this chaos this week, Joe Biden rolls out a tax increase because you haven't suffered enough. But Joe can make sure you suffer some more. So go ahead, ladies in the suburbs, vote on abortion. Good luck feeding your kids. So these idiots will do. They want them to vote on abortion, not ask any questions. As Joe Biden commits to letting the Trump tax cuts expire. It's just another attack on the middle class. It's all an attack on the middle class, really. But the way we defeat it is, as you heard from Adam Gillette, we debate it. And it just gives me shivers this week just to see someone fighting anyone. I don't even care who anymore. Somebody fight for the love of God. And that's Elon Musk. So what Twitter does, they comply. He calls it X now. They comply with the laws in various countries. And so this week, after an Assyrian priest was brutally stabbed by an Islamist lunatic screaming Allahu Akbar, that's always giveaway as to what his perspective is. That was an embarrassment to the Australian politicians who don't want to talk about immigration. So what do they do now? They censor. When they cannot win the discussion, they censor. So they said they wanted the video, the violent video censored. They actually have an e-safety commissioner who knows better what you should think than you do, and that's her job. She tells you what you should think and what you should look at. So she asked Elon Musk, hey, block this. So he complied with the law in Australia, and he blocked it for Australians. She said, that's not enough. I need you to block it in America. I need you to take it completely off the platform because Australians could use VPNs and go see it. You know where else they use VPNs to see stuff? Communist China. You're watching Australia turn into China. What do they have around China? Do you know? Digital wall. So you can't see the outside. What do they have around Australia? Digital wall. So you can't see the outside. These are Western countries, folks. Well, Elon Musk said, not only no, but heck no, I'm not doing that. Now, Mark Zuckerberg said, yes, ma'am, and went ahead and banned it. So what it means right now, as far as Facebook and Instagram, if the censor in Australia, communist style, says that I cannot post something because she knows better than me, she's smarter and prettier or something, then I get censored on Instagram. She knows best. As an American, she can censor me. And that is what the fight is over this week. And this is an important one. Because Elon Musk is saying no. And so now you have members of the Australian Parliament demanding Musk's arrest. And boy, would Democrats love to extradite him for that. Boy, would they love that. So Musk is saying no. He's simultaneously fighting a similar battle in Brazil, where the socialist government there is using a censorship system built for them by the FBI. Nice guys. And they are making the same argument. That we need Americans to be censored just like Brazilians. We need Elon Musk to take down people's accounts. By the way, they want accounts of politicians who are currently elected taken down in Brazil. But they also want the ability to censor me and you and everybody. It is terrifying. And the only, folks, were it not for this man, First Amendment be dead right now. Done. Finished. Knockout blow. But it's not. It holds on by a thread, and I thank God for that. I literally have prayed and thanked God for Elon Musk and that please don't let him ever change his mind or get tired of this because they're going to hunt him to the ends of the earth. But that's what Starlink's for. He's going to need to flee into space, a place he's in a direction of going, so that's good, to keep our free speech rights. Because, folks, everything we're doing right now, they are on the verge of using foreign censors to just shut us up, which would really help them. Seeing the economic situation, the social situations we're going into, they would prefer we just don't cover it. And it is only because of Elon Musk that we even have the perspective that we do on these campus, riots and violence against Jews. I mean, the raw footage is so.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.